Well, good morning. We need some preachers. You can see the assemblies are getting diminishing. The preachers that usually do circuit preaching are getting booked. So when you call them, they're like, I'm booked. And then the internet doesn't help anything either with these emails. So it's waiting for Schroeder to return a call. He said he would a couple different times this week, and he never has. So. Couple thoughts. We'll be in the book of Matthew today. 24. So Jesus has been teaching his disciples and all these different things in Matthew 24. It's a lot of stuff he covers in Matthew 24. Future events, current events, and all kind of different things. He's talking about all these things. And his disciples say they wanted to know the answers to some of these questions. Like, when will you return? He talked about the temple being destroyed. That's an event that happened in the future, but it happened around AD 70. And he talked about the Great Tribulation period spoken of the prophet Daniel, the 70th week prophecy of Daniel, where he gives a sign of the abomination of desolation, is what he calls it. And that's when this Antichrist man will set up in the temple in Jerusalem, and he will make everyone worship an image. And that is the abomination of the desolation of the temple. As Antiphony Pythias did earlier in the Old Testament when he slaughtered the pigs in the temple. So that's the great tribulation portion of the future times that he tells his disciples. So people in this particular time in life, during this tribulation period, Jews mostly, when they see this thing happening, this temple being desecrated, they know the sign is to flee, it says, into the mountain. That's the sign he gives them. He also says there's going to be cosmic disturbances in the signs in the sky. As lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There'll be earthquakes and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines in diverse places. And then he gives another one. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So in those days, he says, people were carrying on. They were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage, and then Noah entered the ark, and they were all taken away in the flood. So he gives a lot of these illustrations to these disciples when he's coming. And they're warning signs and signs for us too. I believe Noah's interpretation here is for us. I believe the other interpretations are for the tribulation people. It's interesting to note that they were living and marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark. That's when Noah entered the ark. Then the rain came. That's when the judgment came, is when Noah entered the ark. It's a picture of the rapture of the church. We're out of here, and then they were all taken away. It also says that they were marrying and giving in marriage and living ordinary lives until Noah entered the ark. And then what happened? Well, then it was a nightmare. So there won't be ordinary life once the rapture takes place. People will not be living merry and giving in marriage and things like that. There's going to be a lot of conflict happening in the world at that time. You read Revelation 6, you'll see some of that. I saw one on a horse with a bow. He's causing disturbances here on the earth. As the seals open, we see earthquakes, all kinds of crazy things. Famine, the witnesses come and it doesn't rain for 3 years. So it's a picture, I think, Noah in the ark is a picture of the church being raptured. And Jesus calls these signs the beginning of sorrows. They're warning signs for mankind to pay attention to be aware of. It's interesting that in another gospel it says, as it was in the days of Noah, and Jesus goes, as it also was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He adds that in one of the other gospels. Sodom and Gomorrah was a wicked place, we know. It was homosexuals. And you think about how was it in Noah's day? It says evil was on the earth and it despised the Lord. He repented, he made man, and he wanted to wipe man out. And he did wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And I was thinking about this. I wonder how bad Sodom and Gomorrah was, and I wonder how bad it was in the days of Noah, as it is to today. I went out to dinner the other night with our friends, our new friends here, Helmut and his wife, and he said, Dan, you know, this is probably the most Christian nation in the world. He's from Germany. And I thought about that. Imagine how the rest of the world is now if we're the most Christian nation in the world. A couple weeks ago, they voted on full-term abortions. And, you know, I was watching that, and I'm not a real abortion activist. But I saw them clapping and giving a standing ovation on the decision. And I'll be honest, I'm not a real abortion activist, as I said. I mean, you know, it's just not something I don't agree with it. But I thought about that and said to myself, I wonder if they did that in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's something to think about. Where are we at right now when it comes to Matthew 24 and the Jesus talking to his disciples? He gives a build in that thing. He also goes on to give a parable of a builder who a thief came and broke into his house and stole his possessions. And we know the Bible interprets the Bible. The thief is the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's teaching these disciples that the work they're going to do, do not let the devil steal him from you. Keep on. Make sure you're faithful. They're going to deny him pretty soon. They're going to betray the Lord. We read that earlier this morning. Well, after they recover, to stay faithful. Because the Lord's going to come, he says, in an hour. Well, you do not know. He gives all these illustrations. And you don't want your work down here to be stolen by the devil. Because it can happen. Because we have to keep in mind that we're going to be with the Lord someday. Judgment will start in the house of the Lord. So he goes on to another particular parable after he gives these signs of these illustrations of him coming. Covers a big event. Theologians divide it up into the first and second advent. Great tribulation, pre-tribulation. I want to tell you it's one event. Covers all of it. To me, that's an easier way of looking at it. So then here in Matthew 24, verse 45, Jesus contrasts what he's talking about to his believers, his disciples, to you and I, to these tribulation saints, to these pre-tribulation saints, to these people here in Jesus' day. And we'll read it, verse 45, Matthew 24. Who then, he says, after all these things, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his father made ruler over the house to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him a ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. And there will be weeping, and there will be gnashing of teeth. There will be crying. So he says to these disciples, after giving them all these signs and interpretations of these signs of his coming, who then is a faithful and wise servant? There's a bunch of people probably standing around him, and we ask the question then, am I one of them? Are you one of them? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? He doesn't say who is a theologian, who knows all the memory verses in the Bible. He says who is a faithful and a wise servant who will be giving food unto my household when I come. We have to ask ourselves that, are we faithful servants? And are we going to continue to be faithful and wise servants? And if we're not faithful and wise servants, are we going to start being faithful and wise servants? That's why he gives this contrast. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Forget about all that stuff I just told you. Who's a faithful and wise servant? Are we? It's important if we understand what's going on here. You know that we're very lucky to be a part of God's ministry here. No matter what you do, you're lucky to be a part of it. That the God of heaven would allow us to partake in the household events of his. Because he's coming back. We work for him. The Bible calls us in Hebrews the partakers of heavenly callings. That word partaker means to be a partner. It has the idea of being in business. Same idea. We are in business with the Lord. There's nothing worse than having somebody work for you, be in business with you as a slacker. So, that is what he talks about. We're lucky to be there. We have lots of things here. We have conferences. We have kids' ministries, bus ministries. And we're lucky to be a part of it. But we need to be faithful with it. We need to be reminded of it, that faithfulness is what we'll be judged by. So he says, who's a faithful worker of my work? But he says, so who's a wise worker? Not just a faithful worker, but who's a wise worker? A wise worker is somebody that takes note of instruction. My dad used to tell me, son, learn your mistakes from other people. You don't have enough time in life to learn them all yourself. That's wise advice. Who's a wise servant? He says, being wise of the signs that the Lord gives us and is coming, we ought to work expecting his return. He says that we are made a ruler over his household to give them food in due season. See, we got to give them food. And our food is the Word of God. We need to feed people the Word of God. And that's what transforms our minds, is the Word of God. And that's what we all need. We need to be transformed by the Word of God. Come unto me, you, all you that labor in the Lord and are heavy laden in the work of the Lord, in the burdens of the Lord, in the burdens of our kids raising them, going astray, whatever the case may be, the burden of the job, the burden of this, and learn of me. So the Word of God is to learn of Him, and you shall find rest unto your soul. As Paul would find that out, I have fought the faith. I have finished the race, and there is a prize laid up for me in heaven. That's what we want to be able to do. And it's not an easy task. But it starts with being faithful and feeding people with the Word of God. And doing to be wise. Why do we want to be wise? Because the Lord says that He is coming in an hour when you least expect it. One other thing we want to do when we serve the Lord, we want to do it with a cheerful heart. Not grumbling and murmuring and complaining. Just read the Word of God and you'll find out what happens when you do that. He doesn't like murmurers and complainers. So he says, blessed is the servant who his master, when he comes, will find him doing these particular things. If he continues in the faithful work, the Lord says, blessed is he. What does John write? Be faithful in the word that when he appears we may not be ashamed, but blessed. He says, if you are that, you will be blessed. And how are you blessed? Because he will make you a ruler over all his goods in his kingdom. He does not say if you remain faithful, he will make you a ruler over some of his goods. He says when he comes and finds you faithful, he will make you a ruler over all his goods. That's good stuff. And I'm reminded the other day that my wife went to the cemetery. It's been a year since her dad died. Tomorrow will be 9 years since my dad died. I was thinking about him. He was a faithful servant to the Lord. And you know what? I buried a lot of people that weren't faithful servants to the Lord. I want to be in the category that my dad is. I want to be in the category that Harriet Bowman was in. She died on her way to church in her car. Don't you? Or do you want to be like the servant that Jesus tells you not to be like in this passage? So he says, blessed are those people with when he shows, he will share all his goods with them, and you will be a ruler over them. And that's a wonderful thing. He will be richly rewarded for all eternity. How can you outgive the man who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? But he says this, but in verse 48, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Remember, this, no matter what your footnote says in your Bible, this is a believer here. And this is a guy that knows his Lord is coming. He says, my Lord delays his coming. You see, he even knows that he's coming. But he says in his evil little heart, my Lord delays his coming. You know what? I've just about had enough of this Christian stuff. It's constantly bogged down. That's why when you go to the mega chapels, your feel good. It's designed that way. You're not falling into the category of heavy laden. I was talking to Dana this morning. She's the first one sitting in here listening to Christian songs. I said, just hang tough. Hang tough, Dana. So he talks about a person coming with an evil spirit. How does that happen? Well, it happens in many ways. Teaching, one. Getting tired, two. Slacking off on your church services, three. Your prayer life begins to slide. Your Bible study begins to slide. Your fellowship begins to slide. And you start slipping off into a dark, dark place. It says here, and then the evil master starts to beat his servants. You can do that verbally to Christians. You can physically do it too if you go too far. It says, then he begins to get drunk with them too and fellowship with the drunkards. All along knowing that his master is coming. So we're reminded that this can happen. And we need to listen up because the Lord says he's coming. It's interesting, he goes on to tell you what happens to this particular individual. He's been drinking with the drinkers now. He's backbiting them. He's in a position where he doesn't even want to be around. He's sluggish, lethargic, busy thinking about number one instead of busy thinking about the Lord. It's easy to do that, man. For thinking about your business, your careers, and you forget about what the mission is. You forget about what he says here. Forget about this tribulation period, this free thing, this, that, the other thing, the abomination, the desolation. Jesus says, who is a faithful servant? This is what I want you to focus on. We can get caught up in self-absorbent instead of feeding our servants food. See, when you're serving other people, you're not thinking about yourself. And that's what the Lord did. He came here to serve all. I don't want to do anything. I'm the only one doing this bus thing. You can always be replaced from that position real fast. And that's what he reminds us of here. But he reminds us that a person that does that can fall into some very, very drastic measures in life. Hanging out with drunkards, it says. You don't got to be a drinker to be a drunkard. Remember that. You're just drunk in anything. Drunk in you. There's people I see that are drunk in themselves. They are consumed with themselves. They don't even got time for substances. They're too busy with themselves. Jesus says that you need to be thinking about me because I'm the one coming. The master of that servant will come in a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not expecting him. The Lord is coming when we do not think he is. And we need to be ready. We need to be sober. We need to be occupied with him and his work. And when he comes, he's coming. Remember that. Don't think today that, my Lord's going to take his time coming. Because that's the mistake you're going to make, because that's the mistake this guy made. When he said in his heart, "My the Lord delayeth his coming," then all the other stuff starts to set in. Keep in your mind that he could be coming today, in an hour you least expect it. You know, it's kind of funny when you think about the Lord. Even when I'm a sinful man, I still think about the Lord. And I actually laughed one time at myself, doing something stupid. I said to myself, you know, what if the Lord came right now and caught me doing this? And I said, you are a real idiot, aren't you? Because that's how fast it's going to happen. The Bible says in a twinkle of an eye, behold, I come quickly. So he's going to catch us with our hands in our pockets. And there's been many times I've thought that. You're going to catch me with my hands in my pockets. I'm so stupid. I need to be wise. Remember, they were living and marrying and planning weddings. And then came the flood. That's nothing compared to what the rapture is, folks. That is the most miraculous thing that will ever happen in the Bible. You are aware of that, aren't you? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. In the twinkling of an eye. You want to talk about an event? That's an event. So he's going to come back and find people faithful, and they're going to be rulers over his household and his goods for eternity. And then there's going to be people who slack in that. And he says he will find that servant, that evil servant. And it says in here, this imagery says he will cut that servant in two. So when we read the Bible, remember, we have to read the Bible with the Bible. So that's a parable. It's a metaphor. And it's not sawing somebody in two. It's the Word of God, and it says that is sharper than any two-edged sword. So you think about that. And he will appoint him with the portion with the hypocrites. That's where the unfaithful servant will be. Well, we're all hypocrites. We know that. And I know I am. But at this particular hour, I don't want to be one. I want to be ready. I want you to be ready. So we think about it. There he is, the Lord of glory on the throne. And you're standing in front of him. And you realize that he's died for your souls. And here's that miraculous hour that you've been told about since you were a little kid taking place. You and the Lord. So you think about the imagery now when he starts to say to you, why did you not do those things I allowed you to do? And as the history of your service goes in front of the Lord, you can see the setting, and it's remorseful. You'd probably start to cry. As all the heaven's glory standing there watching it happen. Sobering thoughts. It's sobering thoughts today. It says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a picture of crying and serious remorse. May we learn from this little section of Scripture of the Lord today. May it sober us up for His work, for our personal lives, my personal life. Read the Word. Feed on the Word. Serve the Lord. For He's coming in an hour when we least expect it. It says, and He will take that evil servant and cut him in two. That's a powerful passage right there. We don't want that. We don't want to lose our wonderful possessions that we worked for the Lord. Like He gave the parable before that, the house. For He knew when the robber was coming, He would have made sure that He didn't get His house broken into and all His things stolen. So we got a lot of stuff to gather up here for heaven. We don't want to get stolen. Well, the moral of the story is, we're either one or the other. We're either a faithful servant or we're an evil servant. We'll either be given a portion with all the goods over His household, or we'll be given a portion with the hypocrites. Now, don't think you're going to be wandering around in heaven the rest of your life crying, because that's not the picture here. You're going to be judged on the judgment seat of Christ, evaluated, and there it is. But we want to make sure that we hear those wonderful words, "Well done." Let's pray. God, we thank You for this little section of Scripture the Lord Jesus gives us to sober us up. He gives us many illustrations in the Bible to wake us up. As He says in another one, "When the Lord hath cometh, will He find some sleeping?" So we think about that, and we think about our destination. Are we going to be okay when He comes? Are we going to be faithful when He comes? What is our legacy going to be here on earth for the Lord Jesus? Thank You for another day that You've allowed us to hear Your Word and convict us of it and help us to reason with You. Come and let us reason together. Though our sins may be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Help us to understand repentance, that it's from a sinful way of life, whether it's drinking or whether it's selfishness or whether it's whatever it is, hatred, bigotry, racism, whatever the case may be. We thank You for a day to be able to repent from it. Help us to put the mind of God in our hearts and lives and focus on serving the Lord, serving the lost, as it says. I came to seek who was lost. May we do that too. May we be a blessing to somebody here today or somebody here tomorrow, if we're granted. But help us to understand the story that You are coming again and we are accountable. In Jesus' name, amen.